Hey, we are so glad you're with us on this Friday night as we usher in a brand new year and 2014. It is time to drop the puck. We are going to focus our attention on the NHL, specifically the Philadelphia Flyers. And the Flyers right now, they are out west. They're facing some of the Western Conference elite in a grueling road game of 6 games in 11 days. So joining us at YSR in the Quicken Loans studios is Adam Kimmelman. He is the deputy managing editor at NHL.com. He has covered the Philadelphia Flyers since 2002, and they have just re-released his book. It is titled, it's been revised, it's been updated, The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly, Heart-Pounding, Jaw-Dropping, and Gut-Wrenching Moments from Philadelphia Flyers History. Happy New Year, Adam. It is so wonderful to have you on our show this weekend for the very first time.
Thank you. It's great to be on.
Well, our first order of business is for you to provide some insight on the Flyers season so far this season. Let's start taking some inventory because it has not been easy. They've had their share of disappointment. They've gone through some tough stretches, and to be quite honest, they have struggled against some of the league's worst this year. But they are playing well on the road so far, and this is an important stretch, isn't it?
Yeah, this is sort of, you know, a make or break sort of moment for them where they need to really prove themselves on this Western road swing. It's a difficult trip. You know, they've been through Vancouver, Calgary, Edmonton already. They've still got, you know, Colorado and Phoenix to go before they come home. It's a difficult stretch, and it's, you know, a games with a lot of travel, a lot of games bunched up in a row, and they are playing so well at home, and you just kind of hope that they could carry it forward here on the road, and it's going to be interesting to see when next they return to Philadelphia, where they are as far as, you know, health-wise, standings-wise, and then you always watch after one of these long road trips, you know, how they get their legs back under them, because it's not going to be easy when they come back. You know, they've got Montreal and Tampa, you know, in a 3-day stretch, and that's not an easy run. So, you know, it's a big time for them. It's a big run for them to see just, you know, how well they're able to do, plus how well they do against the Western Conference. It's been, you know, sort of a bugaboo for the entire East how they do against the West, and you know, it's a nice little measuring stick for where they are in at this point in the season.
Adam Kimmelman, the deputy managing editor with NHL.com, is joining us this weekend at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big East Sports Show. And, of course, as you flip the calendar back, the big news in October, Adam, was obviously the Flyers, the coaching transition that took place. So they got rid of their head coach. They brought in Craig Berube. He gets the nod, but he's been a part of this organization for a long period of time. Craig, very popular with the fans as a player. How has he been embraced as a head coach?
Well, I think what hasn't changed is the respect that the players had for him as an assistant, for what he accomplished in his career. He played for, you know, 16, 17, 18 seasons.
Right.
You know, and the players, they're familiar with how he played and the kind of player he was, and they really respected him as an assistant, and that hasn't changed because I don't think Craig has changed a whole lot in his persona or his approach. You know, he seems to be pretty much the same guy that he was when we in the media dealt with him as an assistant coach. He seems to be pretty much the same guy, the same no-nonsense approach to dealing with players, dealing with the media that he had before. So there really hasn't been a change. Because some guys are a little bit different when, you know, they slide over a seat and they're no longer answering to anyone. They have to make the final decision. And, you know, to his credit, I think Craig's managed to pretty much stay exactly the same. And I think the players have been able to really use that to their advantage. Yes, there is a transition. Yes, there's a different voice calling the plays and setting the strategy, but it's the same guy when you get through all that stuff. So once they figured out how they wanted to play, it was a very quick change for them as far as, you know, what he wanted from them.
As I understand, Craig Berube is the 18th coach in Flyers history, and as we've just been highlighting and discussing, he's been a part of this organization for a long time as an assistant, as a former player, popular with the fans. They have a lot of respect for him. You're kind of providing some insight and perspective on, you know, perhaps what his philosophy is, his approach with the game. It sounds like what you're saying, Adam, is that he's pretty conservative, is he?
I think it's a much more defensive-oriented game with Craig in charge versus the way they were a little bit more wide open under Peter Laviolette. But what you've also seen is he expects a defenseman to be very active in the offensive zone. He wants them jumping up in the rush.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've seen Braden Coburn be a lot more active carrying the puck. We've seen Mark Streit sort of, you know, step his game up a little bit here. He scored a nice goal, you know, the other night in Vancouver. You know, he expects the guys to skate hard, to be reliable in all three zones, to not turn the puck over, to, you know, make smart plays with the puck, and you know, take your chances, make your moves when it's there, but not to force the issue. And so far, I think it's worked well with this group that is here in Philadelphia, and they've adapted well to it. Took a little bit, but you know, now that they're into it, it's, you know, I talk to guys about this. They don't have to think anymore. They can turn the brain off, and it's become second nature for them to be in certain positions at certain times. And it's when you don't have to think, when you can just react, it makes the game slow down a little bit more, and you realize that you have a little bit more time to make plays, and that's what you're seeing now the last, you know, 6 or 7 weeks.
When you talk about reliability, and one of the guys they've been dependent on is Steve Mason. I mean, he has really played well, correct?
Oh, he's been, you know, by far their best player, their most valuable player. You know, when they were going through the struggles early on, especially offensively, you know, Mason was there to bail them out time and time and time again. And there were games early in the season that they won that they probably shouldn't have, just because of how well he played. And, you know, because, you know, Steve still carries a little bit of baggage with him from his days in Columbus, I don't know if he's gotten quite the recognition nationally that maybe he's earned. But I think in Philadelphia, the players all through that locker room, they understand just how important Mason has been for them.
You have to be very careful when you become reliant on one particular guy. Who do they have in terms of her backups with Mason?
Well, with Ray Emery, you have a guy who won a Stanley Cup last year, went 17-1 in the regular season. And, you know, I think probably the only reason he didn't really get any time in the playoffs was because he was dealing with an injury late in the season. And then Corey Crawford went on a great run and sort of just took over and carried that team to the cup. But, you know, Ray's a winner. You know, you don't play in the Stanley Cup Finals twice like he has. You don't come back from the kind of hip injury that he had unless you're dedicated, unless you're a winner. And I think the Flyers really feel comfortable now with both guys. You know, it's obvious that Steve has become the number one guy, and he has that role, and Emery's the backup. But if anything were to happen, I don't think there's any hesitation to go with Emery, and not just in a, you know, in a 1-3 game kind of stretch. You know, he's a guy that I think the coaching staff and the players would trust to be in there if, you know, 3-4 nights they kind of had to make a move if Mason got hurt or something along those lines. So they're pretty happy with the depth they have in goaltending right now.
We are talking some NHL. We're zeroing in on the Philadelphia Flyers. We are so delighted to have along with us this weekend on this Friday night at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show, Adam Kimmelman. He is the Deputy Managing Editor, NHL.com. We're going to take time to highlight his new book that's just been re-released. But we're talking about, you know, some of the challenges that the Flyers have faced this year and the coaching transition. What do you think, in your opinion, Adam, what has been the strength of this team?
Well, I think it's the emergence of Mason, really. I mean, Steve Mason has been the backbone of this team, but if you look at the offense, I think really the top line has really emerged to carry this team, and not just, you know, at the offensive end. I think they've been very good in all three zones. Claude Giroux with Jake Voracek and Michael Raffel, since they've been put together here, you know, the last 10-12 games, it's really been a revelation. And especially Raffel, and he's not going to do a whole lot that's going to make you jump out of your seat, but he always seems to be in the right place. He's great along the walls. He's great at winning battles. He's not the biggest guy, but he's very difficult to knock off the puck. And, you know, he's meshed himself very well with Giroux and Voracek, and I think that's something that kind of has emerged here in the last couple of weeks. And it's funny, when he did it, you know, we asked Berube, you know, what were you thinking? He's like, well, I just wanted to give it a shot and see what happens. And it's really remarkable sometimes how these things go, where you just grab three guys, say you, and there's no real, I mean, Giroux and Voracek obviously had played together before, but, you know, here's Michael Raffel, his first year over from Europe, Austrian-born, played in Sweden. Nobody knew much about him, and, you know, he stepped into the lineup, and he stepped into a pretty prominent role now, and he's just gotten better and better as the season's gone along.
Well, it certainly has paid very big dividends. We are talking about the Philadelphia Flyers, and you start looking at the record. I mean, last year, that was, what, the first time since 2007 they failed to make the postseason. What is, Adam, what is your confidence level in terms of that this team can make a deep run?
I don't know about a deep run, but I think they have a chance now. You know, the Metropolitan Division really, it's not a strong division outside the Pittsburgh Penguins. So, you know, there's four or five teams really fighting for those last two, you know, division spots. So I think they have as good a chance as anybody else to get in there. They seem to have picked up their play since, to me, that the line of demarcation is November 9th and that game against Edmonton. And you look at their record since then, it's among the better teams in the league. And they've just kind of, it seems that was when they sort of figured it out. That was when they sort of, Giroux started scoring. You know, the defense kind of got a little tighter. They figured out really what Berube won for them and where they're supposed to go and how they're supposed to get there. And they've sort of been on that upward trajectory. I think there's a chance that they'll get in. I don't know how far they'll go, but they've certainly got a chance.
The journey continues for the Philadelphia Flyers as we zero in on them and talk some NHL with Adam Kimmelman, the deputy managing editor, NHL.com. He wears a number of hats. He's an author. The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly, heart-pounding, jaw-dropping, and gut-wrenching moments from Philadelphia Flyers history. And I have to tell you, be very candid with you, Adam, what I enjoyed the most about the book is just how you shared that, you know, most organizations, you know, when a player's gone, they thank him for his service, they wish him good luck, but the Flyers organization is different. It really is the Flyers family. Expound on that.
Well, it's something that really Ed Snyder has sort of, you know, he's the patriarch of that family, and he's been there since day one. And he said when he's in his 80s now, he just doesn't have the day-to-day, you know, hand in the team like he used to. But in his prime, anytime they traded a player, anytime a guy left via free agency, Snyder would call them and thank them for what they did for the team and the organization, and if there's ever anything they needed, he was always a phone call away. And a lot of owners and a lot of GMs, they don't do that. And, you know, Bobby Clark, it was the same way. Player after player told me that, you know, Clark would give him a little extra in the contract when maybe they didn't deserve it, or maybe when, you know, he knew that they wouldn't get a chance with another organization. You know, you could do that back in the days before the salary cap. You know, John Stevens told me, you know, when he came to when he was playing for the Philadelphia Phantoms, I think his mother passed away, and there was no hesitation. They got him on a plane. They got him wherever he had to be for the funeral, and he had only been with the organization maybe a couple of months. So, you know, when he sustained the eye injury that ended his career when he was playing in the minor leagues for them, they were, you know, in the hospital. He said Clark came to him and said, you know, why don't you think about coaching? And that, you know, since then, he was an assistant. He was a head coach with the Phantoms. He won a Calder Cup. He coached for the Flyers. Won a Stanley Cup as an assistant with the Kings. So, you know, it was in that moment when he was at his darkest, he said the Flyers came to him and made sure that he was okay and that he didn't have anything to worry about. And that's just one example of, you know, guy after guy after guy would tell me what, you know, Snyder and also Bob Clark, when he was the GM, would do for guys. And guys remember that. And mm-hmm. guys really, and that gets around the league. And that's why Philadelphia, you know, has always been a destination for free agents. When they're looking for a place to play, you know, you push the money aside. Players want to go where they're going to feel respected and where they're going to feel they have a chance to win and where they're going to know they're taken care of and their families are taken care of. And that's why Philadelphia has always been a desirable location for guys.
Well, the NHL, it is a tough business, but really with the Flyers organization, it is a different atmosphere, just the loyalty you're talking about. And it's just been recognized as a class organization. And what's amazing is when you start looking at the front office depth chart, it reads as like an all-time roster list, doesn't it, Adam?
It really does. You know, you start at the top with Paul Holmgren as the GM,
yeah.
Berube is the coach, and mm-hmm. you know, Ian LaPerriere now is an assistant, and John Paddock is an assistant, and those guys played for the team. Dave Brown's there, one of their head scouts. Ron Hextall is the assistant GM. It just goes on and on and on, you know, in the scouting department, in the amateur scouting department, you know, in the broadcast booth. But, you know, it's not at all, it also spread to other areas of the organization. You know, you've got, you know, fans go to games, and there's Bernie Parent around the concourse signing autographs, and Joe Watson from the Broad Street Bullies teams, you know, he's signing autographs, and he also works for the company, and he sells suites at the building. He sells tickets at the building. So, you know, guys aren't just, you know, working in these coaching or scouting, the traditional post-playing career things for guys. They're doing other things, and they work, but, they're very visible and they're very vital to the organization.
Adam Kimmelman joining us this weekend at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. We are diving in. We're talking about his new book that's been re-released, The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly. And I'm just curious, I don't want to digress too much, but what is, Adam, what's the shelf life of an NHL player? I mean, how much longevity do they have in this sport? Because it is brutal what they come into the leagues in their 20s, but can they play well into their late 30s? Because it seems like across the board, when you start looking at professional sports, there's more longevity with players in the league.
Well, I think some of it is because some of these guys come in so young, at 18 and 19 years old sometimes, mm-hmm. that, you know, the guys are so good about taking care of themselves. You know, Kimmo Tiiminen is 38 years old, and he's still going, and Mark Streit is 37, and he's still going, and, you know, there's nothing that says guys can't play 38, 39, 40 years old. You know, you'll get Jaromir Jagr with the Jersey Devils. He's going to turn 42 in February, and Teemu Selanne with the Anaheim Ducks, he's 43 now, and he's still playing regular shifts and playing well before, you know, eventually he's going to retire and go to the Hall of Fame. But, you know, I think Mark Recchi, when he was in Philadelphia, was 35, 36, and they said he was too old at the time, and he went on to play a couple of more seasons and win two Stanley Cups.
Adam Kimmelman has been dropping by and with us at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. We're going to step aside. Much more straight ahead this weekend as we take you through the fastest 2 hours in radio at Yahoo Sports Radio.